is Northfield Outdoors, brought to you by Professional Pride Realty. From hunting to hiking, camping to cooking, mushroom hunting to motorcycling, and so much more, your hosts, Dave Vesladol and Andy Beham, will enlighten, entertain, and inform you with a lively mix of guests and discussion on all things outdoors. And now your hosts, Dave and Andy.
Well, good morning and welcome, everyone, to another edition of Northfield Outdoors on KYMN 95.1, the 1 and 1080 AM. As you know, Northfield Outdoors is proud to be sponsored by Professional Pride Realty. I'm Dave Vesladol, and today my co-host Andy Beham is on secret assignment. Actually, what's going on, folks, we are practicing social distancing here. And so I'm going to be the lone host today. Andy is going to be working from home. But today we do have a guest that I've been looking forward to for quite a long time. And this is going to be a lot of fun for me. I actually have Shannon Vesladol, the daughter of Jody and Dave Vesladol, on the line with us. Shannon is a surgical vet tech at the University of Minnesota on large animals. And welcome, Shannon.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Did I introduce you correctly, Shannon? Is that the best way to describe what you do and stuff?
Yep.
And Shannon, the reason, of course, we have you on here today, you had a chance to do some volunteer work over in Thailand at an elephant sanctuary, and that's what we want to, you know, really focus on later in the show. But starting out, let's give everyone a little bit of background. Where did you grow up, and what were your interests? Let's start with that.
So I grew up in Nurse Strand, Minnesota. I went to school in Northfield, though. I then, after graduating from Northfield High School, I went on to the University of Wisconsin River Falls, where I got my bachelor's degree in animal science with an emphasis on equine science. After that, I worked at a Percheron farm for about a year, and in that time, I decided that I really wanted to get into more vet tech stuff and really focus on the medical aspect of horses. So I went back to school, and I went to Globe University in Woodbury, and I got my vet tech degree there. All my interests, I love anything outside, honestly.
I remember that, Shannon. I also remember you dragging home a lot of animals and stuff, but go ahead.
I like anything outside. I like to go hiking, and I love to go skiing in the wintertime, and my boyfriend and I love to go fishing and snowmobiling as well together. I grew up riding horses, so obviously I still love to do that as well every once in a while. Basically anything outside I really, really enjoy. I really enjoy doing.
Well, tell us a little bit about your current job. What exactly is a large animal surgery tech? What do you do?
Our main job is to assist our surgeons in any and all of our surgeries. A good way to describe that is kind of to compare me to almost like an OR nurse or a scrub nurse for humans. But except I do that on large animals. That's what I mainly do. I also help out a lot with helping run lameness exams, because that's something that we do a lot with horses. I do a lot of inpatient care. We have a lot of patients that stay at the hospital for long periods of time, so I help to take care of them. I take in a lot of emergencies as well. That's probably one of my favorite part of my jobs, is taking in emergencies. And I also assist a lot of our surgeons in any of their research projects that they do. So I'll help out with any sort of data collection and helping interpret the data and recording it. And I also do a lot of teaching. So we are a teaching hospital, so we get all the vet students that come through. and I help teach them and help them along.
So it sounds like you don't exactly have a boring day.
No, very, very rarely am I sitting down, which I really like. It keeps me on my toes. It keeps me moving, which I really enjoy. So I have zero complaints about it.
And when we're talking about large animals, is it primarily horses that you work on, or are there other large animals that you work on?
Yeah, I would say we see about 85% horses. Then we do see a fair bit of goats. And a lot of pet pigs too, just because it's such a fad right now having a pet pig. We do see sheep and cows as well, a lot of llamas and alpacas. And whenever Como Zoo or the Minnesota Zoo need any of their animals to get radiographs done or surgeries done, we're always there helping them out as well. So I get to help out with some surgeries on like polar bears and tigers, which is a lot of fun.
Oh, wow. That's got to be pretty interesting. Well, let's get to the main reason we had you on here. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I jumped ahead a little bit. I do want to find out, how's the coronavirus and all those social distancing and everything been affecting you and your job?
It's really affected us. So we no longer see our day-to-day cases. We are switched to emergency only. So that has really affected us. A lot of large animal hospitals and universities in the Midwest and across America have actually had to shut down. So we've been starting to see a lot more emergencies that have been coming farther away, like from Iowa or Michigan, because we're really like the very few that are still open. So it's really affected us. Our day has definitely, I don't want to say it's slowed down, but it's just very different. It's just weird coming into work, and we don't have day appointments anymore. And even our emergencies that we do see, the clients aren't allowed in the building at all unless it's an end of life, unless it's an end of life thing. Otherwise, the clients are only allowed to drop off their horse and then wait out in the parking lot until we're able to call them and give them an update on their horse. It's really affected us.
That's got to be a little hard on some of the clients, because a lot of pets are, even large pets, especially horses, they're almost like mm-hmm. part of the family. And for them to bring them in mm-hmm. and then not be able to go in and see them, but you really don't have a choice, mm-hmm. do you?
Yeah, it's really, really hard on the clients, and our hearts, they definitely go out to them. Like, I can't imagine bringing in a pet and then not being for them all the way through. So it's really, really hard on them, and it's hard on us to explain it to the client and to watch them go through all of that. But it's the only thing that's keeping us open at the time. So we're literally just trying our hardest just to stay open.
And you've got one of those jobs where you really can't do that at home. You can't bring a horse home and have surgery in your garage, so to speak. So you're one of those essential people that you have to go in, don't you?
Yeah, I have to. There's been a lot of jokes going around at work about how, like, oh yeah, we're kind of one of the few jobs that we can't really just go home and then see all these pets, and especially horses. Like, you definitely can't do that from home. We're one of the few that we really, really have to go in to work.
But by and large, have people been understanding?
Oh yes, yeah. Our clients have been awesome through all of it. Like, I think everyone has just been super, super understanding. They all know that we're just trying to stay open as long as we possibly can. We haven't had any issues with that.
Okay, so I'm going to take you back in time a little bit, Shannon. A while back, you came to your mother and father and said, hey, I got this idea. I'd really like to run off to Thailand and volunteer and work at an animal elephant sanctuary for a few weeks. After Jody and I looked at each other with amazement and then looked back at you, our first question is, why? So why were you interested in doing this? Besides your love of animals.
It's actually a really funny story. One of my really, really good friends, Haley, I was in tech school with her, and she literally, I was just studying for a test. It was like right before a test, and I was just studying for it. And she just came busting into the room and said, hey, Shannon, I found this thing where we can go to Thailand and work with elephants for a little bit. Do you want to come with me? And literally without any sort of hesitation, I was just like, sure, like might as well. At the time I was 24. I didn't have a full-time job. I was almost out of tech school. So I knew my time was limited before I had to be like super, super responsible and like a real adult. So I figured might as well just wing it and just try it out and have some fun with it. And a few months later, we were on a plane to Thailand.
So tell me, what is this elephant sanctuary? I mean, is it a place where elephants just go to recover? Is it a place to go to live? I guess give us a little bit of background about it.
Yeah. So it's called Elephant Nature Park. Almost everyone calls it ENP, though. It's an elephant sanctuary it's a place where elephants who, some of them have been retired, but a lot of them that have actually been rescued, from either circuses, logging companies, or the riding that the elephants like tourist attractions. A lot of them have been rescued from that. And they're brought to at the sanctuary. Where they're literally just allowed to just live out the rest of their life. They're never able to really go back to being like wild elephants, because almost every single one of them was captured at a very, very young age. So a lot of them wouldn't be able to survive out in the wild, but it's as close to living, a so-called like wild, normal elephant life as they possibly can. They are never used for work again. They are never used to be ridden. They literally just do whatever they want to do. They are allowed to do it.
So it's
an awesome place.
Why was this created? Was there a need?
I personally think there was a need. There was this woman named Lek, who she actually, when she was a very young girl, I think her family was like involved with the logging companies that used elephants, and she saw how the elephants were treated, and she saw what it takes to take a wild elephant and turn it into an elephant that humans can work and do things with. And it just crushed her soul. So she wanted to create a place that where elephants no longer ever have to go through any of the abuse, any of the emotional trauma, or even the physical trauma as well. She just wanted to create this place where elephants can just live out the rest of their lives, where they don't have to be worked, they don't have to be hit, they don't have to be emotionally abused at all ever again.
Is this a non-profit organization?
I mean, yes, it is not non-profit. Yeah.
So they rely on donations and the kindness of people to keep this sanctuary going. Is that correct?
Yep. Yeah. They rely a lot on donations. Almost every single person that goes there to help volunteer, you do have to pay to volunteer there. Obviously like your food and housing are included in on that. But yeah, they rely a lot on donations from people.
So tell us a little bit more about this woman that started this. How did that go for her? Were there any issues?
It was actually like super interesting. She originally found she was able to rescue a couple of elephants, and she had a very, very small piece of land that her and her husband owned. And she started finding more and more elephants to rescue. So eventually it came the need to have this huge land. So she actually found, I forget the person's name, but she ended up finding a guy who's originally from Texas to purchase, I think it's about a 500-acre property just north of Chiang Mai. And he purchased the property and donated it to her. And then that's where ENP ended up being created. It was actually really interesting because she said when she first started out, it was very challenging actually to get ENP going. She would have tons of protesters almost every single day for the first, I think it was about 1 or 2 years.
Why were people protesting to open an elephant sanctuary?
It was actually really interesting. She thought at first that they were protesting to not save the elephants, just because elephants are just such a huge economy for Thailand. But they were actually protesting that a woman was allowed to own this business, because in Thailand, like, it's not very well known that women own a big place like that. So she said it was very hard actually for the first couple of years to really get ENP going, not because of saving elephants and rescuing elephants, but actually just being a woman and owning this huge business.
That must have been hard for you to understand as a young woman going over to Thailand to see that those type of attitudes still exist.
Yeah, it was really, really hard because here in America, like especially for the generation that I grew up in, like, it was just very normal to see women own businesses, and it's very normal to see women in a business aspect. So it was very weird going over there, and it's just a very, very different viewpoint there.
So back to the sanctuary itself, about how many elephants do they have there?
They have about, last time I checked, which is about a couple weeks ago, they have about 120 to 130.
Wow.
And that's just elephants. Yeah, they do also have a big herd of water buffalo that was there. Some farmer donated water buffalo to them. And they are also actually a sanctuary for dogs and cats as well.
Oh, man.
Because in Thailand, yeah. Because,
you must have been in heaven.
In Thailand, I was. Yes, definitely. because in Thailand, the stray dog and cat population is a huge problem in Thailand. It's not like here in America where we have like tons of rescues that take in dogs and cats and do like spay and neuter programs or try to adopt them out. Like, that's not really a thing in Thailand. So ENP actually started taking in stray dogs and cats, just to give them a safe place to live. So it was very, very normal to just be sitting in, eating your breakfast, lunch, dinner, or whatever, and just having dogs and cats just kind of like run everywhere and just kind of be hanging out with you.
Okay. Well, Shannon, we're going to go ahead and take a short break and hear from our sponsor, and we'll be right back.
Professional Pride Realty is a proud sponsor of Northfield Outdoors on 95 The One. Let the staff and realtors at Professional Pride help you make coming indoors from the outdoors a welcoming experience in the home that's right for you. The realtors at Professional Pride are local and know the Northfield market. Whether it's buying your first home, upgrading from your current home, or purchasing your own slice of the outdoors, let Professional Pride help you every step of the way. To learn more, check them out on Facebook or at ProfessionalPrideRealty.com. Keep enjoying the outdoors and let Professional Pride worry about your indoors.
Well, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Northfield Outdoors on KYMN 95.1, the 1 and 1080 AM. And we've been talking to Shannon Veslodal, who is a large animal surgery tech at the University of Minnesota. And we've been finding out more about her time that she spent over in Thailand volunteering at an elephant sanctuary. Before we went to break, Shannon, we were talking a little bit about Thailand itself. When you went over there, what was your impression of Thailand? What was that like for you? And what was it like for you as a young woman going to Thailand?
I was just shocked of how beautiful it was. The landscapes are beautiful, especially for where I was, because I was in more of a northern part of Thailand, and we first started in the Chiang Mai area, but then the sanctuary is about 2 hours north of Chiang Mai, so we were kind of out in the rainforest area, the jungle area. And I was just shocked of how beautiful it was. Just hills everywhere. And even Chiang Mai itself, the city was just a very beautiful city. Being a woman there was a little different. Before I left, I got prompted to bring clothes that were very conservative. It's a very, very conservative country. So I had to make sure no cleavage was showing. My shoulders were always covered. If I could bring long sleeves and survive in July heat in Thailand to try and do it. any of my shorts and skirts and dresses, they all had to be below my knees. Because they said, even though you're going to be very obviously a tourist, it's just in their culture to not really dress, to not show skin at all. They told us also just to always travel in pairs. It's not so much of a safety thing. It was just, again, more of a cultural thing. It was just kind of weird to see a woman walking down the street by herself. It wasn't illegal by any means, but it was just weird to them. Like, it just wasn't a normal thing to see. I think that was just like the biggest shocker as far as cultural differences.
And some of the other rules, you had mentioned off the air, talked about that alcohol was kind of frowned on. It probably wasn't a lot of bars, yes. that type of stuff. Can you talk a little bit to that?
It wasn't really a thing to get drunk or to party. It wasn't really a thing to drink like very heavily there, and to be just kind of a fun like atmosphere. I mean, like, it was a fun atmosphere in its own way, but just different than as opposed to like being American, being like a young 20-year-old. One of the things I also thought was very interesting when I went over there is I got told numerous times, never ever say anything negative about the government. There, it's just very much ingrained in everyone's mind. Like, they love their king. Their king is amazing. Like, it's not a thing to say anything negative about the government. Even being a tourist, if you're heard speaking anything negative about the government, it is very normal for the police to come and lock you up, even as a tourist. It's just a thing that you're just not allowed to do, which was very interesting to me, because like here in America, like you hear all the time, like, oh, I love my president, I hate my president, it's very like free speech, but there it's not a thing at all.
And what were the people like? Were they friendly? What was your interaction with the people, and describe kind of a normal household?
Yeah, so they were extremely nice. Like every single person I met, even like the gas station person, like every single person I met was extremely nice to me. I never had any sort of bad encounter with anyone. Everyone was so polite, like so helpful. Like, I never had a bad experience when it came to the people there. There were some of the workers that I talked with at the sanctuary where we were just like comparing like our lives and like and like how we lived and how we grew up. And I guess in Thailand, like, it's very, very normal to live with your family for a long time. Like, it was very normal to have, like, your grandparents living with you. It was very normal to be living with your parents up until you get married. And then, like, being a woman, like, you go in and move in with your husband, and then it'd be very normal for, like, at some point in time, his parents or your parents move in with you. So it's definitely, like, a very family aspect, and it's very normal to be living with, like not only your parents, but also your extended family as well.
Well, I can see where you'd just love to see me and Mom move in with you.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Think about this. What's the right answer?
When I would tell them that, like, oh yeah, like it's normal for someone my age to be living by myself or living with a boyfriend, like, they were just shocked. Like, they were like, oh, that's not a thing here. Yeah. Like you don't live by yourself, and you for sure don't live with a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Like, that's not a thing.
Like, well, let's get back to the elephant sanctuary. So tell us a little bit more about how many people do they have working there? You talked about the number of elephants, but I would assume it takes a pretty large staff to keep this going.
Yeah, yeah. So it is mostly volunteer based, but the amount of employees, that's kind of hard for me to judge. For sure, every single elephant has what's called a mahout, and a mahout is a guy who, he literally dedicates his life to this one elephant.
So every elephant, I'm sorry, every elephant has one of these people?
Yep, yep. Every single one has a mahout. So from the time he wakes up until the time he goes to sleep, he literally just takes care of this elephant. So he's constantly preparing food for them. He's bringing them down to the river to give them a bath. If they want to go for a walk, he goes out and walks with them. If they just want to, like take a nap, like, he just sits there and takes a nap with them. Like he literally dedicates his whole life to them. And ENP is really awesome, where every single one of these mahouts, if they have a family, him and also his family are allowed to live at ENP with the elephant. So that he is able to literally wake up every day, be right next to his elephant. As soon as his elephant goes to sleep, he's able to just go home, which is, like, right next to the elephant, and sleep with his family then.
So is this a job that is sought after in Thailand? I mean, it sounds like it would be a pretty good deal because you could bring your family with you.
Yeah, it's actually, like, really surprisingly, it's not really a job that's super sought after. It's not a job that's, like, held on a pedestal and, like, all these people want to go and do it. But it's definitely not like a super low job either. It's just one of those jobs that if someone in your family has been doing it or has an elephant that they are a mahout for, it's usually passed down to the son or a nephew in the family, and then they just keep it going. It's not really a job that a lot of people, like, really seek after, though.
So it's not, you can't really call them a handler. It's really more of a caregiver for the elephant.
Yeah, yeah. I would say it's definitely more of a caregiver. They are definitely not handlers because the elephant is allowed to do whatever they want to do. So they're definitely not handling it. They're more just making sure that the elephant is doing okay and is being fed properly, drinking properly, and is taken care of, right?
So can you share with us some of the stories of some of the different elephants? What's a little bit more of where they came from? I hate to use the word abuse, but I think that's a correct word to use for some of these elephants, how they were abused. and
and
what kind of shape sometimes they come to the sanctuary.
Yeah. So I think like the number one thing to always remember with any sort of elephant that you see around people, like any like movie elephant, circus, riding elephant, ones that any elephant that you see that can be around people, every single one of them has been through what's called a crush. So what people do is they capture baby elephants, and they put them in this thing where it's very, very deep into the jungle, and they have they have four or five different posts all in a circle, and the elephant goes in the middle of all these posts and is tied up as tightly as they possibly can, including their trunk, and they're left there for a long, long period of time. And during that period of time, villagers go over and literally just beat the elephant. They throw rocks at it. They whip it. They do anything and everything. And what they're doing is that they're crushing the elephant, like, emotionally. So they're almost bringing the elephant to the lowest point that it could ever feel. Where then they have no other options but to accept the human and to accept anything and everything that the human wants to do. So we had to watch a couple of videos of an elephant going through the crush, and it's awful. Like, if there's one thing that could tear you apart, is watching some of those videos. So just knowing that every single elephant has to go through that is, like, already, like, emotional enough. But then a lot of the elephants that I helped out with, were more ones that, on top of going through this crush, also went through a lot of physical abuse, just because I was on more of the veterinary side of it. So there's still a lot of landmines in Thailand, and elephants just accidentally sometimes step on them or accidentally set them off. So a lot of the elephants there had stepped on landmines and had part of their feet broken off, or a lot of them were missing tails as well. So I would help out with treating a lot of those wounds. I remember there was one elephant that was part of a breeding program. And there was one time she was getting bred where the bull was too big for her, and he actually broke her pelvis. So now for the rest of her life, she always walks with the huge limp, just because her pelvis never healed quite properly. So just watching her and seeing her go through life was very, very sad. There was also one elephant that I mainly worked with. Her name was Saza. She is she's 70 years old. And when I'm 70 years old, I hope to be like her. Cause she lives on a sanctuary, and she literally just eats, drinks, and sleeps and goes and takes baths every day. but she came from a logging company. She pulled logs for so long throughout her life that her whole back is very sore. So she doesn't really like to walk very much, just because it hurts her back so much. So I thought that she was, like, very interesting to hang out with. It was just very interesting. Every single elephant there has their own story, and their own experience. And if you sit there and listen to every single elephant story, like, every single one is very heartbreaking. And it just makes you very, very, very happy that they're finally in a place where they're going to be able to live out the rest of their life in peace and in happiness.
Now, some of these elephants have, how should we say, a bad attitude because of the way they've been treated throughout their life. And can you change that attitude?
So there are a group of elephants that live at ENP that are kind of fenced off into their own sanctuary where volunteers really aren't allowed over there. Because a lot of those ones have just been through so much emotional abuse that they just can't, be around humans. Almost every single elephant, when they first come to ENP, all are a little weary of humans and still just like don't quite trust us. But just throughout the years, they're able to kind of overcome that, and ENP is able to kind of show them like not all humans are terrible. But there is a group of elephants that they just know just will never be able to be around humans. So they try to give those elephants just their own area where they can just go and just be with each other and not have to worry about humans as much as the other ones do.
And some of these elephants, I would assume, have some very interesting personalities as far as, you know, wanting to have fun. They do want to get up and do stuff.
Yeah.
I guess talk a little bit about that.
Oh, yes. Yes. Every single elephant has their own personality. So it's like I said, Saza, like when I get to be her age, like I hope I'm like her. Like she definitely lives the life. She just hangs out with her best friend, and they just eat and drink and go down to the river and swim a little bit, and then come back to their house and just nap all day. There was one elephant as well that. I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but she loved to walk. So her mahout has tracked her, and every single day she walks at least 10 miles a day, where she just walks around the park and just keeps on going and going and going. There are definitely some really funny elephants there as well. I remember there was one night where me and some friends were just hanging out outside, and all of a sudden we heard like just a bunch of commotion, and a lot of the elephants like started to make like just a lot of noise. And we later found out that one of the elephants figured out how to open up the gate from where she was being housed. And she decided to open up the gate and just like start taking like a little stroll around. Her mahout ended up finding her, brought her back, and ended up putting one of those dial locks on, like the locks you need a combo for.
Sure.
She actually was able to figure out the combination for that lock, and she was able to open up the lock with her trunk and then reopen up her gate, and then at that point, she went over to all the other elephants and figured out how to open up their gates as well, and she just let everyone go. And so in the middle of the night one night, basically every single elephant was like taking a stroll around the park.
So that
was a lot of fun. They all have their own personalities, and all of them like have fun in their own way, so it's really awesome to see.
It sounds like these are pretty intelligent animals. Were you surprised at how intelligent they were?
I wasn't really, just because like you're grown up always being told that elephants are so intelligent and they have like this amazing memory. I was a little shocked of like how true that was, because yeah, they're incredibly intelligent. All the elephants that we were doing wound management for, a lot of them they started to figure out like, oh yeah, this person is just helping me and trying to make me better. So a lot of times like if they had a foot injury or something like that, like a lot of times the elephants, like as soon as they saw you and saw all of your supplies, they would just come right over to you and just lift up their foot right in front of you and just stand there and just wait for you to do everything to them.
How much do these elephants eat? I mean, typically, what does an elephant eat in a day?
Oh, so much. I cannot remember off of the top of my head exactly how much they eat, but I do remember that almost every single day, you would get huge truckfuls full of just like watermelon and all these different vegetables and rice balls and lettuce. So you would just get these huge truckfuls that we would help prepare. And I remember just cutting up all of these vegetables from just one truckload and then saying like, oh yeah, this is just like a lunch, like for like one or two elephants or something like that. Like, and this was just truckfuls of vegetables and stuff.
Was this trip over there and the time you spent working there, I really got the feeling it was kind of one of those life-changing moments that you'll look back in the past and say, hey, this really had an effect on me.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure. For sure solidified my choice of being a good choice of getting into veterinary medicine. I definitely it just like solidified that yes, this was the right choice in my life. This is the right career path for me. I get a lot out of helping animals and making them feel better. So yes, it was a huge life changing, and it was very life changing for me personally as well. It was one of the first like huge trips that I took like with a friend, and where we went to a country that I've never known anyone that went to Thailand. So it was very big, like to go somewhere that I've never really heard of anyone else going to and doing something that I've never really heard of anyone else doing, and just having a blast with it.
I suppose it was also eye-opening to see some of the things we take for granted in this country, some of our freedoms. That's not universal around the world, is it?
Yeah, no, it for sure made me very appreciative of America. I was already very appreciative of America. I already knew that we had a lot of things that not a lot of other countries have, but I was very, very appreciative when I came back. Just to be able to have an opinion about the government, like, I think is huge. I think it's something that a lot of people tend to forget, that it's okay that we have an opinion about our government. I think that's huge. I think the fact that I can walk outside and I can wear whatever I want to wear, I definitely took that for granted up until I went to Thailand. And just the fact that it's much easier for me to do whatever I want to do here, as opposed to if I would have lived in another country. So yeah, it definitely made me very appreciative to come from America. Like, that's for sure.
Do you think you'll ever go back, or do you want to go back to the elephant sanctuary again?
I would really like to. I don't know if it would ever happen again, but I would actually really like to, especially now after being in the veterinary community for a while, and especially having surgery experience now. I would really like to go over there and help them out with more of their medical aspects of the elephants. I would really, really like to. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but I would definitely like to again.
If people want to find out more about this sanctuary, where do they go? I assume that they have probably a Facebook page or some type of a place. Yep. Where people can look up more information. Where is that?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, but on Facebook and also Instagram, if you just type in Elephant Nature Park, ENP will show up right away. I definitely suggest following them on Facebook and also Instagram. They put up a lot of posts about the elephants, like something funny that they did, or they put up a lot of the elephants there, like their past, and just like updates on the park in general. Otherwise, if people want to find out more information about them, they can go to elephantnaturepark.org. They have an awesome website. You can donate to them. It has literally every single elephant on their website and all of their life stories on there. So that's really cool. I would definitely check them out on Facebook and Instagram, but also check out their website as well.
Yeah, I follow them on Facebook and Some of the images, some of the pictures are just amazing of some of these elephants.
Well,
Shannon, we've run out of time. This has been a lot of fun for me. Of course, it's a chance for me to brag about my daughter and stuff. But so we can officially embarrass you on the show. I just want to make sure that you know that your mom and dad are extremely proud of you. And you've grown to be quite a young woman with a lot of talents. But this has been fun. I really do appreciate you coming on. So
I had a lot of fun with it. Thank you again for having me on.
Yep. So we're going to close here. Just want people to know that this show will be archived on kymnradio.net and found under Northfield Outdoors. I want to give a special thanks to Hayes for updating our Facebook page, and we're going to have some images of the Elephant Nature Park, the sanctuary. We'll get those put out there. And, of course, we miss Andy, who's on secret assignment right here. And a super big thanks to our sponsor, Professional Pride Realty, for sponsoring Northfield Outdoors. And then I just want to close. Northfield Outdoors is not going away. We're just going to take a little short hiatus because of the coronavirus. We're going to practice our social distancing. But we are still going to be playing the best of Northfield Outdoors on Saturdays at 11 o'clock for the next month or so. And then we will be back with some fresh new shows. So until then, hey, everyone. Get out there and enjoy the great outdoors. You can do that at a distance. Thank you.
This has been Northfield Outdoors with Dave Vesladol and Andy Behem, brought to you by Professional Pride Realty. Join Dave and Andy every other Saturday morning at 11 o'clock right here on 95 The One or streaming at kymnradio.net.